Ready?
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good.
Should be a fun morning.
Let's hope a fast one.
Huh?
Fast.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Prior to the beginning of the official proceedings of the council, each week I ask a question of the community and the people in the room is, how are the children? The reason that I ask that is that I know that in communities where our children are well, where they have a good education, a roof over their head, and concerned adults in their lives, they're much better off, and the community is better off as a result. And each week, I invite experts to come in and talk with us. And today, we've invited three experts that go to Davis Elementary School. So Miriam, Anastasia, and Diana, could you please come forward? They have been studying government and have actually elected mayors and commissioners in their class. Excuse me, go up there. Yes. Perhaps in 20 years you can walk up to this other part here. And also their teacher, Ms. Foss Backwoods, is accompanying them. So when you speak, you just have to say your first name, but introduce yourself and then tell us what you'd like us to know.
My name is Anastasia.
Okay. And you're?
My name is Diana.
Okay. And my name is Miriam.
Okay. Who's going to go first? Okay.
When I met Mr. Potter, it was on April 15th. I was so excited. I just want to thank him for inviting my class to his office and for the pizza. Thank you, Mr. Potter. So I guess I'm just going to start out by introducing myself. My name is Anastasia Capitina. I'm here today to talk about the homeless kids. Well, I live in a nice, cozy house and have food, so I don't have to go on the streets and beg like the kids I see. My idea is I think the government should have some volunteers go to shelters and teach the kids there. That way the kids there could get some education. I also wanted to talk about their medicine. What if a kid got sick? He will need some medicine. I think the government should give medicine to all of the homeless children. Every person should be treated the same, even the poor. I'm really thankful for what I have, but when I think of the poor, it makes me sad. I hope you listen to me and want to use my ideas. Thank you for giving me your time. It's been an awesome experience. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you.
Thank you, Anastasia.
My name is Diana. The first time I met Mr. Potter, I was really excited to see him. It was on April 15th. My name is Diana Voloshik, and I'm 9 years old. I go to the fourth grade at Davis Elementary. I'm going to talk about graffiti. Once outside of our school, on our recess wall, there was graffiti. We didn't know who did it, but our janitor had to paint over it. I can tell you a lot of other stories about graffiti writing, like the time I wrote on the max. Once I was under a bridge, and I looked up and saw graffiti, and I thought that should change. Maybe the government should take more time and cover graffiti, at least the bad ones, because kids need their education and don't need distractions like graffiti. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you use my ideas.
Hi, my name is Mary Muska. I was here before, and I really enjoyed it. I also want to thank Mayor Tom Potter for inviting us over to have lunch with him. Thank you, Mr. Potter. But what I would really like to talk about is how clean the city is. In my neighborhood, it is fairly clean. Some places aren't that great, like right around my house. My house has a gate around it, and beyond that gate, there are cups, cigarette butts, paper, and even straws and bottles. So I can tell that around my house, people don't like keeping it clean. I can tell you a lot of other places that aren't very clean, like some MAX stations. I go to the MAX a lot now, but all I see is garbage, garbage, and more garbage. Here's another place. Take little mini-marts and 7-Elevens. All you see is beer bottles that are cracked and all over the floor, and cigarette butts, too. I think this should change. There should be garbage and recycling cans at the MAX stations and a lot of other places, too. People should not litter and drop things where they probably know kids walk and need their environment clean. I hope you use my ideas. Thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you all very much for coming in. And as usual, You folks are very wise in the things that you advise us to do, and we will consider all of those things. So thank you for coming in, and could the audience give these young folks a good hand? Thank you. I did learn something valuable that day at lunch. I learned that you don't order vegetarian pizza for children. That was the only one that no one ate. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. I also have a new thing I'm going to read today, and each council thereafter. The council provides the opportunity for public testimony so that members of the public may share information or opinions regarding the specific matters pending before the council. The abuse of the opportunity for public testimony in order to speak on extraneous matters or for the purpose of hindering or delaying the council is a breach of order and decorum and will not be allowed. I will rule out of order any person who engages in such abuse of the opportunity for public testimony, and if it is apparent that any person seeks to speak for the purpose of hindering or delaying the council, that person will not be permitted to testify. Any person who wishes to speak to the council on matters that are not germane to a specific agenda item should contact the council clerk, who's sitting to my right and your left. Reserve one of the times we have set aside for the purpose of the communications agenda. Thank you. We will not be hearing the consent agenda today because we only have three commissioners. So please read the 9:30 time certain.
You want to take care of the communications?
Oh, I guess we should, shouldn't we? Yes, please read the first communication.
Item 673, request of Debbie Castleton to address council to proclaim June 2008 to be LGBTQT Pride Month.
Welcome, Debbie.
Good morning. I'm not as well spoken as the three previous girls, so hoping to, it's kind of a tough act to follow. I am Debbie Castleton. I work for the Bureau of Environmental Services, as well as I am the chair of the Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, otherwise known as DEEP, and I'm here as one of the co-sponsors, along with Transportation, Parks, Office of Management and Finance. DEEP is a sponsor of the LGBTQ Squared Pride Month. And we're hoping that you can read the proclamation that we provided for you. We have many events that will be happening in June, and we're very excited. I do have some calendars here if you'd like some, and the agendas of what we'll have. We'll have at least four documentaries, critically acclaimed, two panels, and other events, as well as a historic walk. And there's a Rose City Softball Association versus the Portland Police Charity Softball game during that month as well. And a lot of city, all the in-city employees are invited to march in the Portland Pride Parade, which will be joining Multnomah County's PRISM group.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
And thank you and all the other members of DEEP. As city employees, you really you help us to keep our eyes focused on those issues that are important to our diverse communities, and I truly appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I'd like to read the proclamation.
I'd be honored.
Whereas the City of Portland, Oregon is home to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, and questioning individuals and their families, and whereas the LGBTQ squared citizens are among the strong and creative individuals who contribute to the diversity and success of the City of Portland, whereas we reaffirm the city's abiding commitment to full equality for all citizens and all people, including the LGBTQ squared community, whereas each passing year, Portlanders become more receptive to diversity and more open to those who are different from themselves, whereas too often, however, LGBTQ squared individuals face prejudice and discrimination, and too many have to hide their identity or deny their sexual orientation and gender identity in order to keep their jobs or to live safely in their communities. Whereas during this month of LGBTQ Pride, we remember the courageous women and men who faced down discrimination at the Stonewall Inn in June of 1969 and called on this nation to live upon its promise of equal opportunity, liberty, and justice for all. whereas no one should have to live in fear or be forced to hide their identity to avoid horrific attacks or discrimination in hiring, housing, health care, and other areas, and whereas this June, recognizing the joys and sorrows that the LGBTQ movement has witnessed and the work that remains to be done, the City of Portland observes LGBTQ Pride Month and celebrates the progress we've made in creating a society more inclusive and accepting of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and questioning individuals. Whereas we will work to break down the walls of fear and prejudice and build a culture that is inclusive until LGBTQ individuals and their families are afforded the same rights and responsibilities as all Americans. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, do hereby proclaim June 2008 to be LGBTQ Pride Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Please read the next.
674, request of Renault J.S. Catalan to address council regarding budget communications.
Polo? I don't see him here. Please go ahead and read the next.
675, request of Frank K. Wood to address council regarding budget communications.
Mr. K. Wood? Okay. Please read the next.
676, request of Mark Lakeman to address council regarding the city repair project.
Finally, a show up.
Missed you last week. All right, so hi, Mayor and Council. Very much of an honor to be here before you again. I'm Mark Lakeman with the City Repair Project in Portland and now in many other cities. On behalf of City Repair, I'm just here to update you on our progress in working across the city and also in other cities. Right now is the time of our biggest annual event from May 23rd to June 1st. It's called the Village Building Convergence. It's going on across the city from farthest north and south, east and west, in over 24 communities. People are building sustainable community gathering places and many different kinds of amenities in their communities that they have designed, funded, and are building now in these 10 days for themselves. And these are all about sustainability. This brings us now to over 120 project communities and sites in the city of Portland and over 250 built projects, which is incredibly impressive and I think a testament to the strength of our community, because these are really generated from the communities themselves and working very much in partnership with OSD, PDOT, Parks, and other bureaus, including building. Part of this week's events will involve Art Ludwig, who I brought with me today, a national leader who we have brought from Santa Barbara to assist with the development of greener building codes in the city of Portland and in Oregon, particularly with regard to gray water. The point of our work really overall has been to build a much greater civic capacity and ecological literacy and to inspire increasing communication, or rather participation, in Portland and in other cities as well. Now I want to show you a few images. What we're working on are local solutions at the most local level that can inspire not only the broader city, but other cities that are part of a global network that is interconnected politically and economically, as we know. And as we undertake local solutions that are globally relevant, we stand to help to save our world as a whole, of course. Some people wonder how have all of these things been happening in Portland that we should become such a national leader. Some people actually point back to the beginning of Pioneer Square and the day that we painted the rooftop of the old Myron Frank parking garage and turned it into, well, established a powerful sense of place. And what we've been doing is taking this notion out into the very fabric of our communities all across the city. There are now 15 of these major installations, accompanied by the hundreds that I was just telling you about. What we're doing is engaging people in the issues that are before them to slow traffic, to calm, well, to beautify, to make their places more livable, and in the process engage in a bioregional sensibility and think and engage all of the other issues that they can at the same time. And as you see, these have been happening across the city in many other places, lately in partnership even with the Portland Development Commission, North and Northeast Portland, again, North Portland, many more in North and Northeast, and even involving very low-income immigrant communities such as here. I think I'm out of time, right?
Keep going.
Okay. Well, we're part of building, as I said, the literacy and the appreciation and therefore the capacity and the inspiration to do so many more things, to contribute things like farmers markets, to build the appreciation for regional goals and objectives, and so many more things that we're already undertaking in Portland to basically accelerate all of this process of change through building the overall capacity of the city. And now this is happening in small towns throughout Oregon, in major cities such as Seattle, Eugene as well, Los Angeles, many cities in Minnesota, interestingly, including Minneapolis here, and down in Arizona, Tucson, and very beautifully, people are actually getting married in these locations. And I personally think when the streets not only become places but become sacred, something must be going right. And it's happened several times. All right, so I just wanted to give you that update and introduce you to Art Ludwig, who will be following me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for making our city a better place. I enjoy driving by your various pieces of work around town. It really does make our city better. Welcome to Portland, Art.
Thank you. Get my PowerPoint going here. Whoops. So my name is Art Ludwig. I'm the principal of Oasis Design, which is a design firm in Santa Barbara, California. I'd like to thank you all for your attention and the trail that Portland is blazing with your progressive policies. We hear legends about you in the political desert down south. For 27 years, I've been designing systems for living better with less use of resources, especially water and wastewater systems. We maintain a 300-page website and publish books on these topics. Our most popular book is on gray water systems. And gray water, of course, is all household wastewater, apart from toilet water. When it's reused for irrigation or reused internally, the water consumption is reduced and the level of treatment is vastly higher. I've written gray water policy for several jurisdictions, including New York and New Mexico. I'm here today to suggest two actions that you could take to remove policy barriers to sustainability. Under current policy in the United States, the more ecologically you live, the more illegal it is. So let me just say that again. Even as every one of the Earth's life support systems is under threat of collapse, the more ecologically you live, the more illegal it is under current building codes. My first suggestion is to support the state of Oregon and Oregon Recode to adopt world model gray water regulations patterned after those in Arizona and New Mexico's, but only better. This would open a pathway for job creation, water savings, and the improvement of surface and groundwater quality. I believe this is a good proposal. My second proposal aspires to greatness. I suspect that you all took the trouble to get elected to public office because you wanted to leave a legacy that was bigger than yourselves. Up until now, the regulation of building has been inwardly focused and backward-looking at known risks. Will the building fall down? Will it burn up the people inside? And external costs and risks were ignored. But now, externalized risks, such as climate change and groundwater contamination, dwarf the risks from things like funky plumbing. Pioneer builders in Oregon are figuring out buildings that are not only fire safe, but global warming safe, not only well plumbed internally, but properly plumbed into the global nutrient and water cycles. But under existing regulations, this research and development of safest, most efficient systems is illegal. My second proposal is that you adopt policy governing experimental permits for state-of-the-art building systems. Folks are doing R&D critical for an orderly transition to a post-peak world at their own cost. I think that the least we can do is provide a legal umbrella that enables them to work unmolested and publicize their methods and results. If you adopt a model policy like this, I guarantee that many other jurisdictions will copy it, spreading your legacy far and wide. Thanks.
Thank you, Arne. That's very informative.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, for bringing him to Portland. We have another on the communications.
That's all the communications.
Okay. Okay, then please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 678, declare the week of May 28th through June 8th, 2008, to be the Great Blue Heron Week in Portland.
Mayor Potter, members of the commission, Dave McAllister, city nature manager, and I understand that you have a proclamation in front of you you're going to read for us.
Yes, I do, Dave. The proclamation follows. Whereas the great blue heron is a majestic symbol of the city of Portland's efforts to enhance and maintain a healthy environment for citizens, fish, and wildlife, whereas Great Blue Heron Week is an appropriate time to restore our commitment to our natural environment and celebrate our successes, whereas the City of Portland over the last year has created many new initiatives and programs to enhance our environment, including adoption of a citywide urban forest management plan and a new Gray to Green initiative, increases in tree plantings, invasive species management, green street projects, and eco-roofs. Whereas the City of Portland established itself this year as the country's leader in sustainable development and green building technologies, whereas over the last year, the City of Portland continued to invest in natural areas through purchases of the Johnson Creek watershed and accepting the generous donation of 45 acres of Ross Island by Dr. Robert Pamplin, Jr., and whereas the City of Portland over the last year continued to build cooperative relationships with volunteers, nonprofits, surrounding cities, regional, state, and the federal government to further our natural resource goals, whereas the City of Portland encourages its citizens to appreciate and celebrate our natural resources by participating in the many Great Blue Heron Weeks events and celebrations. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the period of May 28th through June 8th to be Great Blue Heron Week in the City of Portland and encourage all residents to observe this celebration. Commissioner?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Portland's vitality, its community, and business climate prosper because we value our natural environment and strive to share this place with wildlife. And nothing symbolizes this better than the wonderful blue herons that make Portland home. We look at the heron as a symbol that the city is on the right track. It is the canary in the coal mine that monitors our progress. As the heron prospers, so does the city and what it stands for. And it has been a great year for the heron. As the mayor said, with the acquisition of Ross Island, one of the principal habitats for the bird that is now in public ownership and management, couple this with the Connecting Green regional effort and major investments in the city's Oaks Bottom Refuge, another heron habitat area. And we have the recipe for continued success. So let's celebrate Great Blue Heron Week this week and recommit as a community to our ongoing efforts on behalf of all wildlife in Portland. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, it's really been a good year for the heron. And as Commissioner
Saltz, state your name for the record.
Certainly, Dave McAllister, City Nature Manager, Portland Parks and Recreation. As I mentioned, that it's been a good year, and we're excited about the Ross Island acquisition. To let you know, the council, we are now embarking on beginning of framing up our master planning process for Ross Island. And in late summer, we're going to begin looking at restoration activities on the 45 acres of city acquisition property. As you know, Dr. Pamplin provided us a $100,000 endowment to start conducting that work, which we are going to be doing in conjunction with the Bureau of Environmental Services. I might also mention that you referenced in the proclamation Johnson Creek. It's long overdue for some attention by the city in terms of natural area acquisition. And I might mention that Metro is also focused on that. They've acquired about 110 acres in the Clatsop Butte area. And we have gone ahead and working on an IGA with Metro to manage those properties for them. Additionally, the city parks and BES recently purchased 28 acres just adjoining that area. So we are looking at, as the way I describe it, building a forest park on the east side if we can possibly do that. So we're very excited about that. And The proclamation also mentions volunteerism, and I wanted to express my gratitude here for the over 78,000 hours of community service that's been put in to enhancing our habitat in the city, which is tremendous. And, you know, volunteerism comes in all shapes and sizes. And one of the things that you see up here is the proclamation, and it's done in a calligraphy style. And I want to point out the man in the audience who contributed to that. His name is Douglas Strickler. Douglas, would you kind of stand up and let people know? And so this beautiful work was his contribution to volunteerism. And
including the great blue heron?
I don't know. Can you speak to that? Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
So anyway, I think this is a good time to be celebrating that, and we're very happy to. I'd like to bring up one of our volunteers, our NGO groups that we work closely with. Bob Salinger is here from Portland Audubon to say a few things, and I think he has an unexpected guest to join him. So.
You got that past security, huh?
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Salzman, and Commissioner Leonard. My name is Bob Salinger, and I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. It's really a pleasure to be here on this 22nd annual Great Blue Heron Week. Mark mentioned earlier the sense of place that his work is doing. I think one of the landmarks in terms of developing a sense of place was when the city of Portland, Mayor Bud Clark, designated the Great Blue Heron as the official city bird 23 years ago and recognized that our city is more than just humans. It also has wildlife. We don't inhabit this city alone. And so the mayor started this morning by asking, how are the kids? I want to ask, how are the birds? And the answer is the birds in this state are not doing very well. We have one of the highest bird diversities in the country, 500 different species that live in Oregon. Of those, over 200 pass through Portland every year. We're a place that when Lewis and Clark passed through, they complained that they couldn't sleep at night because the birds were so dense. They kept them up, the geese and the ducks. So we live in a biodiversity hotspot. But National Audubon has compiled data, 40 years worth of data from all 50 states, including Oregon. A lot of it was gathered by people in Portland for Oregon. And what we find is that in Oregon, 25% of our birds are seeing significant declines. And 11% are either critically imperiled or likely to become critically imperiled in our lifetime. So there's some bad news. We also have had some recent incidences that we should be aware of. We were on the news the last couple of days, if you watch the news, for illegal shooting of birds, and it's become a big problem in the state. We took in an osprey Monday that was shot illegally, an osprey last Friday that was shot illegally, put up a reward 2 weeks ago for people poisoning birds. It's become, in my opinion, an epidemic, and we're getting, unfortunately, some national attention for our killings. We were in Backpacker Magazine, National Audubon Magazine, and it's not just in Oregon. So we have some challenges, but we also have some reasons to be very excited and optimistic, too. And some of the local work is really, really outstanding. It was already articulated in the proclamation, but the Greater Green Initiative, the City Canopy work, Safe Sounding Green, Connecting Green, we have a lot of greens in there, really things to be proud of. And Ross Island is a landmark event as well. And we have some opportunities in front of us over the next year. I would point to West Hayden Island and Colwood Golf Course in particular as two opportunities where we can either enhance our bird biodiversity or potentially undermine it, because both of those places have real potential. And West Hayden Island in particular is already a very important area for birds. I want to invite you out for Great Blue Heron Week. We have some amazing partners in this. It really speaks to how much the community cares about its birds. Bike Gallery, Columbia Land Trust, Columbia Slough Watershed Council, Norm Thompson, Johns Creek Watershed Council, the list goes on and on. A lot of people participate in celebrating our birds and our city bird. I want to point out two events in particular. This Saturday, we have a sternwheeler cruise. That's really a great opportunity to get out in the river, go around Ross Island, see some of the peregrine eyries, and also the Ross Island Regatta the following Saturday. Which is usually 50 to 100 canoers and kayakers going around the island. It's a really, really fun event. I'm going to end today with something I didn't expect to do when I woke up this morning. When I got this morning, I had no intention of bringing a peregrine falcon with me to city council, but my pager went off. And what I have with me today is a peregrine falcon from the Fremont Bridge. This is actually one of the nestlings. And if you track the Fremont Bridge peregrines, you know that they started nesting there in 1994. At that time, there were only 26 pairs in the entire state of Oregon. And because they were such an endangered species, people wanted to actually take their young out of the city and put them in wild nest sites where they'd be safer. And we argued against that. We said, you know, the city has to do its part. We're a biodiversity hotspot, and we'll work with the community. We'll do this peregrine watch down at the Fremont Bridge, and we'll get people involved and get them to care, and we'll be able to have these birds survive in the city. And the problem with bridges is they tend to jump from their nest prematurely on bridges. They don't do that on cliffs, but they do it on bridges, and they land on the ground, and they run away around in the parking lots and the roads and the railroad tracks. And so we've worked with the community for 15 years on the peregrine falcons. And since that time, Fremont Bridge has become the most successful nest site in Oregon. It's fledged 47 young, which is an amazing number. And it's contributed statistically to the overall population growth of peregrines in the state to the point where they're now delisted. Every year I go down there, and I went down 2 days ago, and I pass out this flyer, and it basically says, you're fortunate to live underneath a peregrine falcon nest. The community's been a giant help in helping us protect these birds. If you see a peregrine falcon on the ground, please call us, and we'll come down and we'll get them out of harm's way. And so this morning I got the page on the way over here, so I ran over there, and sure enough, there was a peregrine falcon trying to cross Front Avenue. He fledged this morning. He's 38 days old, and I didn't have a chance to put him back up where he could be cared for his parents. That's where I'm going after I leave here, but I thought since I had him with me, it was probably safer to bring him in than leave him in the car, and so I figured I would introduce you to one of Portland's most famous residents.
What have you named him?
I haven't named him, but I've banded him in the nest.
Now, there you go. How about Bill Shonley? He can always... Wow, a pretty bird.
The fastest species on Earth. And this guy is 38 days old. And in 2 weeks, he'll be diving at 200 miles an hour and killing pigeons and other prey. And he was an endangered species. He's a delisted species today, and he's delisted in large part because people care about birds in Portland. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, Bill. Thank you very much, Bob. Tell me, when you put this bird back up, what do you have to do to make that happen? Do you climb up on the bridge?
I climb up on the bridge to band them and collect samples, but for this, we work with the people at Fremont Place, which is the office park, and also the Ross Island Sand and Gravel on the other side of the river. And what we do is we get access to their roof, put him up high. He'll be flying within a day or two, but basically we'll put him up high, get him out of harm's way. He'll have a rooftop to hop around on, and parents will feed him up there, and as soon as we can get in touch with them, we'll do that. And they've worked with us for 15 years on that, so it's a huge community effort.
Nice. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, it's a proclamation. There's no council action needed. Please read the 9:45 a.m. time certain.
Item 679, urge the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame to honor Bill Shonley with the Kurt Gowdy Award for his outstanding contribution to the game of basketball as a member of the broadcast media during the nearly 30 years as the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Potter and Commissioner Saltzman. I probably haven't been more excited about coming to a council session than this one. For those of us who are native Portlanders, Bill Shonley is truly, I mean, in every sense of the word, a treasure. But it's interesting how this resolution was introduced. Bob Miller, the morning talk show host on KPAM 860, owed me big. Exactly 1 year ago, I was on Bob Miller's morning show when he said to me, hey, Randy, why don't you do something about all that duct tape at the Rose Festival parade? So thanks a lot, Bob. But this year, in a way to pay me back the debt that he owed me for that, he asked me to come on and asked if I would introduce the resolution you see before you today honoring Bill Shonley. As opposed to the resolution I introduced a year ago, this has received nothing but unanimous acclamation and praise and thanks. So Bob and I are even now. There are legions of us who are from Portland who in the 70s weren't particularly sports fans and weren't particularly Blazer fans, and probably me more than most. I even tease my children to this day, my two boys, when I see them sitting in front of a TV watching football or basketball or baseball, that I'm going to go have a DNA test done on them because they can't actually belong to me. But I am the first one to sit in front of a Blazer game, and it's because of the play-by-plays Bill Shonley so colorfully gave. And what got me hooked was listening to him as I was working my way through Portland State in the 70s as a janitor listening to the radio. So there were terms that that Bill used that still I use to this day. And one of my favorites was when Bill would see a player go to dunk a ball, he would call it climbing the golden staircase. And what an image that paints of a person listening by radio to that kind of imagery. And it is what made Bill, more than anything, just such an outstanding broadcaster. So, for an example, the 1977 World Championship basketball team that, of course, Bill was the broadcaster for, he had names that most of us will remember for some of the players. Bill Walton was the Chief. Lionel Hollings, the Train. Maurice Lucas was Mighty Moe or the Enforcer. Larry Steele was the Bandit. Robin Jones, the Rubber Band Man. And Wally Walker, my favorite, the Who. So Bill is not just revered, he is respected greatly by those who have worked with him over the years. And I want to invite, before we have Bill up, three individuals who in their own right are Portland treasures. We are very fortunate to have Jerome Kersey here. Jerome, you wouldn't mind coming forward. Jerome was a member of the 1990 and 1992 Western Conference Championship team for the Trail Blazers. We have, we're really honored to have Harry Glickman, the founder of the Trail Blazers here. Harry, could you come forward? And Jay Isaac, an executive with the current Trail Blazers. If you gentlemen could come forward. Thank you all for coming, and feel free to say what you'd like.
Well, first of all, good morning, Mayor Potter and commissioners, and thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for this petition. We are very excited today to have a chance to begin the process of an honor long overdue for a legendary broadcaster for Portland and the NBA. And I think you've really painted a great picture, Commissioner, but I think who should be doing the talking here is the original Trailblazer, Harry Glickman, and one of the most beloved players that ever played the game for us, Jerome Kersey. So, Harry, would you?
A little room east. Donna should be here, though. Go ahead. Unless he says. Well,
I've enjoyed not only today but recently on radio and all over town hearing this effort to get Bill into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I've really enjoyed that because, after all, I'm the guy that hired him. there are two broadcasters, friends of Bill's, friends of mine, who are in the Hall of Fame, Johnny Most of the Celtics, and senior moment, the guy of the Lakers, Chick Hearn. And Bill certainly deserves to join them, and I'm glad you're putting this resolution out today, and we'll make every effort to make sure he is where he deserves in the Hall of Fame. Thanks.
Hi, Jerome Kersey. When I met Bill Shonley in 1984, he was pretty much the first person, and that's most recognizable, except for Harry. Harry was here. That's why I was from getting here. But Bill is the voice. He's kind of like, he was the voice of the city for me. And everywhere you go in this great state and other states, I have so many people that say they don't even turn the TV on. You know, they listen to Bill because he can bring the image of the game right to you. And he's just been a great friend as well as a coworker over the years that I played for the Trailblazers. And like I said, Chick Hearn and Johnny Most are in, and Bill should definitely be the last amigo, so of that group, and he well deserves it. And he does so many things for his community and for the still the city to this day. And no way you can go, you can't recognize his voice even in a crowd.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very much. And before we have Bill come up, we don't always read every resolution on the record, but this one I want to read on the record with your indulgence, Mayor Potter and Commissioner Saltzman. Resolution 679 to urge the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame to honor Bill Shonley with the Kurt Gowdy Award for his outstanding contribution to the game of basketball as a member of the broadcast media during his nearly 30 years as the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers. Whereas the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame honors athletes, coaches, media members, and others who have made extraordinary contributions to the game of basketball, and whereas the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame honors members of the media who have made extraordinary contributions to the game of basketball with the Kurt Gowdy Award, and whereas Bill Shonley became the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers beginning with their first game in 1970 and served in that capacity for nearly 30 years afterwards, and whereas Bill Shonley called 2,522 Trailblazer games during his broadcast career, including 84 playoff games, and whereas measured in time, 2,522 Trailblazers games is the equivalent of being outside for 6 years, 332 days, and whereas when he stepped away from the mic, Bill Shonley's 30-year career was the second longest consecutive broadcast career in the history of the National Basketball Association, and whereas Bill Shonley was named Oregon Sportscaster of the Year by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters on four separate occasions, whereas Bill Shonley was inducted into the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame in 2002, whereas Bill Shonley was three times named Oregon Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Writers and Sportscasters Association, and whereas generations of Trailblazer fans experienced the game of basketball through the wonderful imagery painted by Bill Shonley's words, and whereas Bill Shonley coined the phrase Rip City for Portland's fans and was nationally featured as the voice of the National Basketball Association's fantastic campaign, and whereas Bill Shonley remains to this day a Trailblazers ambassador and has served as a volunteer or board member for several local nonprofit organizations, and whereas Bill Shonley's 30 years of service as a link between the Trailblazers and their fans created a body of work that amounts to an immeasurable contribution to basketball, and now therefore be it resolved that the City of Portland urges the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame to honor Bill Shonley with the Kurt Gowdy Award in recognition of this extraordinary contribution to basketball as a member of the media, and be it further resolved that the Office of Government Relations will prepare a letter and submit a copy of this resolution to the Trailblazers and the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Shonley.
Wow. Thank you very, very much, Mr. Mayor, Ben, Randy. I don't know what to say. I'm normally not at a loss for words, but I am this morning. To be even considered to be in the Hall of Fame of basketball back in Springfield, Massachusetts, is a great honor. And if that comes to fruition, I don't know what I'll do, but I try to do everything I possibly could for this Trailblazer franchise when Harry Glickman hired me. And around the state and the Northwest, I think I can say that I truthfully spent some time in every nook and cranny of the state over the years talking about our franchise and talking about the city of Portland and the state of Oregon, for that matter, because I am one. I've loved my time here. I've tried to do what I could for the communities all over the state. And here we are today. So, Randy, Mr. Mayor, Dan, thank you very, very much for that proclamation.
Thank you, Bill, very much. And you may be at a loss for words today, but fortunately, through the aid of technology, we have been able to recapture three different audio clips of you back in the 70s during the national basketball playoff.
Okay.
And they're short, and I hope what I'd like to do is play the first two, which are the final minute of the Philadelphia game that you called. And then we have a third one, but if you wouldn't mind, can you listen to the first two and then just comment on what it was like and just kind of that whole glorious moment?
I'll do it again. Right.
Ty?
Portland by two. They have the ball. 35 seconds to go. Calhoun on the inbound play. They get it to Bobby Gross right in front of us. Bobby takes a look. Now they're going to play for a good shot, and hopefully they will get it. Now to Gilliam, practically at midcourt. Hands back to Lionel Hollins. They're playing the clock down. 25, 24 seconds. They want a good shot, and hopefully it'll go in. Hollins works the clock down to 9, 8. Around the Robin Jones pick from the circle. He looks out. Play, a pick and roll, the easy play in basketball. He got about a 17-foot jump shot and came it. Lionel Hollins and up on the equitable scoreboard is Rip City, and that is the biggest Rip City of the franchise.
And this next clip is the final 5 seconds of that game.
And leading 109-107. Three, one inbound. Here we go, the inbound up against drive, stop, punch, shoot, short, no good, and the game is over! The game is over! The Portland Trailblazers, at about 2 minutes and 18 seconds past the hour of 2 o'clock, have won the World Championship.
Great.
What an afternoon.
Wow.
I'll never forget that day. Never forget that day. And from that moment on, for the entire weekend, this state went crazy. And all of us who were part of that, and you folks as well, can remember. And I remember the parade on Monday morning down here. The thing that of that parade, the championship Monday parade, we got on a bus at Memorial Coliseum, took us down to the train station. And if we all remember now, we got in cars, and we get out, start to leave the train station, and you get to Burnside, and you cross, and you go to the right a little bit, and then you look up Broadway.
Yeah.
It was awesome. All you saw were people. Thousands and thousands of people going crazy. We were supposed to come up here to Funk Park, and we all thought it wouldn't take too long. It took about 2 hours.
Yeah.
But that was a wonderful time, and people are starved for that again.
Yes.
And I like the way things are going right now.
Nice.
They have a new attitude over there. I'm still a part of it. I love it. Blazer red, that's my blood,
yep.
And I want to continue to do what I can for them. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but the young team that they have right now is very good. One or two acquisitions, they'll make the playoffs. They won't have to worry about the lottery anymore, which is good. And nothing but good things can happen. And I want to hang around, if I possibly can, until they get one more of these.
Yes.
And that's that championship ring. And then I'll fade away into the pines or whatever.
I doubt it. We have one more clip, and I put this on because most people think of you as doing play-by-play of basketball.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize you've also done a play-by-play of physical fighting. So I want you to listen to this and tell us about that.
Crosby into Gilliam, put it up, doesn't drop. Dawkins, the rebound, along with Bob Brooks, and now Darryl Dawkins. Oh, look at Ramsey. Here we go. We got a fake. Now Lucas hits Darryl Dawkins from behind. We got a good one. Dawkins and Lucas. Here we go. Here's a right-handed pick by Lucas. Now Dr. J gets a hold of Lucas, and Ramsey is right after Darryl Dawkins. Ramsey has a hold of Dawkins. Now away from that, we have a fight out on the floor. Everybody is standing in front of me. Ramsey is involved in this. Players are involved. Spectators are involved. That was a spectator that got out there. And it all started when Bob Gross and Darryl Dawkins went up for a rebound. Uh-oh, now we got something across the way from us. And the Blazer bench is completely empty. Julius Erving is sitting on the floor by himself at midcourt. And Bill Walton is saying, now, Darryl Dawkins and Maurice Lucas are getting closer and closer to one another. And we've got fans in front of us. Look out, folks. Anything could happen.
I was so wishing Maurice Lucas would be here today for
oh,
that.
Yeah. But, oh, what a night that was. That was, I hadn't heard that for a long, long time. But that brings back fond memories. There were so many things going on, you couldn't keep up with them.
Yeah. But you called that just like a broadcaster would call a boxing match.
It all happened right in front of me.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get involved in it for a while there. But you start to describe one thing, and then something else would break out. It was great.
Well, your city loves you, Bill. Thank you very much for all you've done.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. And if I can ever do anything for you, just let me know. I'll be there.
And actually, there is a couple things you can do for us.
What's that?
Well, I haven't heard you say those words.
I think he was just getting ready to.
Okay, that's the first thing.
It's one of the big things. Of course, that phrase, I might just tell that story for a moment. The first year of our franchise, I was trying to come up with a phrase that would be synonymous with my broadcast as well as the team. So it was about the middle of the season, and I couldn't come up with anything that I thought was going to be okay. The Los Angeles Lakers, the mighty Los Angeles Lakers, came to town for the first time over at Memorial Coliseum. They had Wilt Chamberlain and all the rest of those guys. Typical Trailblazer night, down by 25 or 26 points. But the game changed, and all of a sudden we get to the point where the next basket would tie the mighty Lakers. Jimmy Barnett, former University of Oregon player, now broadcaster with the Golden State Warriors, was on our team then. And I was sitting at midcourt. We didn't have as many people sitting down there. Nobody were in the end zones in those days. Not a lot. And Barney came across the midcourt line, and in this day and age, it would have been a three-point play. But for whatever reason, he let it fly just over the midcourt line. And lo and behold, it went in. Well, I went nuts. The crowd went nuts. We tied the Lakers. The Lakers immediately called for a timeout. Well, when I was describing the play, what ended was, Rip City, all right! I gave my commercial cue, sat back in my chair, and the few people that were to my left and right, they said, Rip City? I said, yeah. They said, leave that in. So that's how Rip City started, and it's a phrase that means something good. You go out on a golf course, or you're playing whatever sport, or bowling, or whatever it is, but when something happens, Rip City. So to all of you, thank you very much. Rip City.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. The second thing, being an unabashed admirer, would you mind autographing this piece of paper I have here?
Well,
if
certainly.
If I could get Mr. Kersey and Mr. Glickman and Jay to sign this as well. I would really appreciate it. It doesn't come with my job description, but
I got one right here.
I mean, if I knew it was this easy to get to you through the Blazers, I would have done it 4 years ago. That's a tremendous insight.
Jerome, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tom, very much.
Here you go, Romy. See you later, Sean.
All right.
Fine. I'm out of here. Mayor, how are you, sir? Nice to see you.
Thanks, Harry, for coming.
There you are.
Thank you.
No, it was here. It was left here. Okay. Belongs to the city.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, nice. Oh, you gave that to me? Jeez. Oh, thank you. Nice.
Mayor, we have someone who wishes to testify on this item.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Please come forward.
Ron Callan.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Ron Callan, and my job is the sports director at KPAM 860. And I'm here representing Bob Miller. As you know, Bob has worked with Randy Leonard on this resolution. We have a likeness of Bob. Bob's on an assignment this week in Cabo, trying to come up with some ideas for a show. So he's down in Cabo. But he wanted to express his appreciation, his thanks. And, you know, it's kind of appropriate that I get to be here for a couple of minutes because as a sports director in my entire adult life, I've been a sports broadcaster in the Northwest. I have worked with some tremendous broadcasters, including Bob Blackburn, who spent many years here, and Dave Niehaus, who is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame in July in Cooperstown. He's the Mariner announcer, of course. Bill Shonley is a Hall of Famer. And this is great that you've done this. In fact, when Bob Miller's gone, I get to host the show this morning. We had Royce Pollard on, the mayor of America's Vancouver, who is backing up you guys. He's going to follow your lead and enter his own resolution in Vancouver, supporting Bill Shonley getting in the Hall of Fame. Now, Bob's not here, but this is Dan Clark, his producer that you probably, many of you have talked to many times and know. He actually has recorded a very brief statement that Bob left before he left for Mexico. Take it away, Dan.
This is Bob Miller. Thank you for hearing my voice. And speaking of voice, if Portland, Oregon has a voice, it is that of Bill Shonley. Now, you're going to hear a list of his accomplishments for sure, but I think it's really important to recognize that Bill Shonley has a heart as big as his voice. Yes, he involves himself in charity work. Lots of people know that. What you may not know about is how many things Shons does away from the cameras and the microphones. Things like visiting people in hospitals, visiting kids in schools, volunteering his valuable time. You know, they say character is doing the right thing when no one is watching. Well, Shonley fits the bill. Thanks for hearing me. Rip City.
Nice. Congratulations. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if I may, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, the City of Portland, we appreciate the fact that this resolution has passed, and KPAM's campaign is to request all cities in the city in the state of Oregon and Southwest Washington to follow your lead, because we know that Bill Shonley deserves it.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Well, this has been more fun than what I even envisioned. So thank you, Bill, for being here. Thanks for sharing the memories. It was really, and Jerome, thank you for being here. It's really great. All of you, thanks. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I also want to thank Bill for being here, and Jerome Kersey, and Harry Glickman. My family goes way back with the Trailblazers. Harry Glickman sold my dad one of the first season passes. And I remember going, I was still in high school, I remember going to games. And as Randy said, I think, you know, basketball didn't come naturally to a lot of us here in Portland. We hadn't been around pro franchises of any sort. And as Bill acknowledged, the first couple of years were pretty rough. So it used to be quite an effort to want to go to those games with my dad. But then, you know, something magic happened, and, you know, around 1977, it's never been the same. The games have been filled, and the fans have been loyal, and we actually now have four seats rather than two seats.
Nice.
So it's been a family tradition for a long, long time, and appreciate all of you for what you've done to make this franchise so much a part of our city, and we're very proud of you. Aye.
Potter.
Well, I think that the City Council is deeply honored to recognize one of Portland and Oregon's legends. And we hope that through our efforts and the efforts of the other mayors in this region, including Vancouver, that we get enough folks to write and ensure that Bill does make the Hall of Fame.